You're listening to the Spicy Dividend.
What is going on? It is your host, Scott, aka DGen Dividends at Twitter. That is D-E-G-E-N Dividends on Twitter. Be sure to follow me if you want to keep up on the hilarious yet not hilarious wit that I bring to the market. So today is Tuesday, April 7, 2020. It is 4:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when I'm recording this. Another beautiful day in Pennsylvania. Plan on going for a nice long walk after this to burn some of the fatty Taco Bell that I got out of the drive-thru yesterday. So not surprisingly, we got a little bit of a cool down from yesterday, but not too much of a cool down. In fact, we were up pretty significantly at the opening bell. So just looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we were up when the opening bell struck 3.64%. So between yesterday and today, you know, at one point we were up 10% for the week, and the week just started. But it did end up cooling down and slightly in the negative today. Pretty much flat, though. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500, basically flat after today. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. We already had a big spike. So if we were essentially flat for the rest of the week, then we had a really nice week. And I'm not surprising that it dipped. I mean, there's really no news that would constitute a really significant jump up in prices right now. It's not like we found a cure. We didn't get a good vaccine going yet. All this antibody talk, there's nothing really there. And now, right now, Trump's throwing a hissy fit at the World Health Organization for telling them that they didn't need to close Chinese borders early. That's not the reason we're in this shithole, but is it? Anyway, today I just want to talk a little bit about the dividend analytics, more specifically the compound annual growth rate of the stuff that I have. So we're actually going to be talking pure dividends today. Before I get into that, I just put out a tweet. Again, it's at DGen Dividends. I have $3 left over in my Robinhood account, and they finally approved me for fractional shares, which is a shame on their part, because if they approved me for fractional shares, I probably never would have transferred to Fidelity. That's why I went to Fidelity, just because it was a major brokerage with fractional shares. You know, M1's just, it's way too limited for what I'm trying to do. Selling covered calls, and yeah, I want to buy when I want to buy. I don't want to do it at certain windows and so on and so forth. So if I would have, if they would have gave me access earlier, I'd probably still be on Robinhood, use it as my main brokerage right now. But anyway, I had $3, so I just held a little contest on Twitter. Hey, give me a symbol, and if I like it, I will give you a shout out on the podcast. So here it is for Ryan. Thank you. Invest it for Ryan. I ended up putting the $3 in Gaslog, aka one of the greatest tickers, GLOP, G-L-O-P, gas log. I'm going to try and turn this $3 into $100, putting absolutely nothing into it. Am I going to be able to do it? Hell no. But, you know, I'm going to have a lot of fun doing it. It's a way to just, you know, kind of screw around, have some fun money from $3. I do not care if I lose $3. We're going to try and transform it into $100, doing some ultimate flat out gambles and swing trading. We'll see how that goes. But once again, $3, who gives a rat's? We'll see where it goes from there. So anyway, let's talk about the series portfolio, the dividend portfolio, dividend slash covered call portfolio. So I'm going to analyze the five holdings that I'm trying to build up. And again, those are DGRO, which is the iShares Core Dividend Growth, Gold IAU, VNQ, Vanguard's Real Estate, VXUS, Vanguard's International ETF, and then XLU, which is the Spider Select Utilities. So right off the bat, let's just start with the easy one. Gold. Oh, there is no dividend. So there you go. There's no compound annual growth rate for gold because there's no dividend return on gold. This is one that I'm trying to build up just for nice covered call plays. And hey, it's affordable downside protection right now. It's cheap, $15 a share. So if you're interested in gold, I highly recommend IAU. Let's start out with XLU. So this is utility. So this is an ETF where you're going to have a high yield right off the bat. This ranges anywhere. It's harder to do ETFs just because the dividends are typically never consistent, meaning like this month's 20 cents, the next quarter's 20 cents, next one's 25 cents, next one's 25 cents. It goes all over the place. It could be 16 cents and then 50 cents and then 14 cents and then a dollar. It can be a little tough to calculate yields starting yields and where it's going to be in the future. But here are the compound annual growth rates. So I took it for 2016, 17, 18, and 19. For 2016 to 17, the dividend increased 5.6%. From 17 to 18, it increased 0.5%. And 18 to 19, it increased 8.34%. So that's really nice growth you're getting out of the dividend. And it's really cool because XLU is a higher yielding position. So there you go. You got some nice growth there. Let's take a look at the complete opposite. So this is VNQ. This is Vanguard's real estate ETF. And again, this is one that's going to yield higher typically than a typical like S&P 500 fund. It's usually around double. I shouldn't say that. It's usually just a touch under double what the yield is for the S&P 500. But from 2016 to 17, a decrease of 11% in the dividend. From 17 to 18, it was pretty much flat, an increase of 0.4%. And then 18 to 19, a decrease of 10.96%. So even though you're getting a higher starting yield, the dividend is not growing at all. Now, you know, real estate's a little tricky. A lot of people just, they like the idea of collecting dividends from REITs because the whole, oh, they got to pay out 90% of the income rule. But it's so inconsistent. And I find that a lot of individual REITs, they pay on a schedule. They don't pay based out of income. So, you know, you can float around that like, oh, they got to pay 90%, blah, 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 all that you want. At the end of the day, a lot of them individualized do have a strict schedule that they keep. Like, for instance, think of Realty Income Corp, ticker symbol O, the most common like monthly dividend that dividend investors hold. They usually pay out very consistently. It's not like, oh, we made this amount of income this month, here's your 90%. It's never like that. It's consistent, like 22 cents a month, and then they have their like 1/1,000,000,000th of a penny raised to 22.0001 cents the next month or whatever it is that they raise. But yeah, that's the point of that. So the real estate ETF, although it decreases, it still has a nice starting yield, and that could skyrocket the next month. You just never know. REITs are very inconsistent in terms of distribution increases, but they could increase theoretically at any time. It's just a matter of what the performance is of these REITs. So obviously the performance of the underlying equities in the ETF. The next one, we go to VXUS. So VXUS is Vanguard's international ETF. And I personally believe that this is the best one that you can own because through the amount of holdings that it has and the amount of market cap that it has, it ends up being 99% of the emerging market cap. So this is a fantastic job of getting you a ridiculous amount of global diversification in one holding. 99% of the world's emerging market cap. That's awesome. Just through all of this one fund. And what you'll find out through these international funds, international players are typically a little more higher on the distribution side versus stuff like share buybacks and crap. A lot of countries, it's outlawed share buybacks. So you can't even do it. So their form of return is in the form of dividends typically. So with VXUS, you're going to get a higher dividend starting yield, and you're also going to get really nice growth because internationally is more focused on dividends than they are share price. So 2016 to 17, a nice bump in 15.8% increase. 17 to 18, it decreased a little bit, a 3.47 decrease in the dividend per year, by the way. All of this is per year. And then 18 to 19, a nice boost, 13.7%. So yeah, even though it went down from 17 to 18, the year before it went up 15%, and then the year right after it went up 13%. So very nice increases for VXUS, a very underrated dividend play, in my opinion. If you want a lot of diversification and you want a really good dividend payer, VXUS, look no further. It's awesome. So with all that being said, let's get to what I want to be the core of my portfolio, DGRO. By the way, I don't believe I've ever mentioned the expense ratio on DGRO. 0.08%. That is right in line, if not even better, than a lot of Vanguard funds. So if you're worried about expense ratio because you're thinking like, oh, the share price itself with around like $34, $33, $34 is way too low. It must have like a huge expense ratio. No, it's just naturally cheaper based on the way the outstanding shares work out to the net asset value. So DGRO 0.08% expense ratio, that is awesome. And it's true to living up to its name, dividend growth, because listen to these numbers. Listen to this consistent growth in your ridiculous numbers. 2016 to 2017, a 7.65% increase in the dividend. 17 to 18, a 14.87 increase. And then 18 to 19, a 14.79 increase. So ridiculous increases every single year. The lowest being 7% in 16 to 17. Now look, I get it. We're in 2020. There's a ton of companies cutting or suspending their dividend, especially for the second quarter, third quarter, who knows, could be the rest of the year, could be permanent, depending on how badly this disrupted their business plans. But I'm throwing out 2020, right? If you're into ETFs and collecting dividends, passive income from ETFs, you have to throw 2020 away, because assuming the ETFs you hold a lot of equities, then you know, you're going to be safe if you just hold on to it. And you just might see a little bit of a decrease in your positioning. But, you know, that's okay. ETFs, you want to buy low. Like anything in the stock market, you want to buy low and get at the lowest price. So everything is just cheaper right now. So, yeah, the dividend might not be so great if it's lowered. But at the same time, you know, once business gets going again, once we return to a little bit more normalcy, that we're going to see the dividends start increasing yet again. And, you know, something with DGRO, again, holdings are huge blue chips, right? Microsoft, I'm just running down the list of the top 10, which comprise about 27% of the entire holdings, if you want to call it that, for DGRO. 27% of the weighting, there you go, 27% of the weighting of DGRO is in these top 10 holdings. And you tell me if you think they're going to cut the dividend. Microsoft, they're not cutting it. They're sitting on a ridiculous amount of cash. Apple, they're not cutting it. J&J, they're not cutting it. Verizon, I highly, highly doubt they're going to cut it. JP Morgan, that could be one where they do cut it. I do believe Jamie Dixon did come out and say, I don't think they are. Chevron, everyone thought they were going to cut it. They said they are not. They're just going to stop doing share buybacks and they're going to try and protect the dividend. Good for them. Pfizer, a slight possibility, but again, I don't see it being significant. Procter & Gamble, you know they're not going to cut the dividend. Wells Fargo, they could absolutely cut it. And then Home Depot, they are not going to cut the dividend. They're in a really good position. So the most dangerous positions are, unironically, the financials right now, JP Morgan and Wells Fargo. But at the end of the day, there's so many holdings in that are going to just keep increasing, so many good blue chips, that it's not going to be too much of an impact. So there you go, a little bit of compound annual growth rate analytics on the positions that I'm trying to build. We'll see if I can make the magic happen of $3 to $100 in the Robinhood challenge for me. I don't plan on posting that on Twitter or anything, because no one gives a shit what you do with $3. I'll just keep you updated on the podcast if anything crazy happens. So hope you enjoyed this episode of the Spicy Dividend Talking 100% Dividend Say. Hope you enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts if there's any holdings that you're looking at to buy right now. I guess that was kind of a little choppy. I don't know why I really hesitated to say something there. But anyway, I'm going to go enjoy the day. It's beautiful out. I just got done finishing working from home for the company that I'm working for. So hope you enjoy it. Hope you're having a nice day today, and I'll see you guys and gals tomorrow.